pour something flammable into your glass. It's Jaded Gamercast. My name is Lang. With me, as always, is Nathan, and the scar on my head is aching, which means that Terry is also here.
Oh, ouch.
There it is. I had that shit locked and loaded from like 3 hours ago because Harry Potter was on TV. And I was like, this will be great. Let's do that. Terry,
not
welcome.
Supposed to say my name? Isn't that?
Like, no. Just in terms of you as a producer, because you do no work for the show.
Mm-hmm. That's right.
it's a purely honorable title. What do they call that? When they give you a doctorate, but it's a bullshit doctorate because you're a celebrity.
The doctorate of laws?
An honorary doctorate?
Honorary doctorate.
I have an honorary doctorate in what? Being famous.
I'm the show's philanthropist.
Well, you know, if you want to blow Nathan during the show, why not? That's a high-level joke. Okay, so, welcome to Jaded Gamercast. I'm drinking scotch. What are you two drinking?
Martini.
Asti.
Hey.
Out of Jaded Gamercast glasses.
Yeah, yes. Keep that under your... All right, so this is already
off. Wow, I was gonna say we're already off to a rocky start, and we are at minute two, ladies and gentlemen.
Let's fire away into what we did this week in hobby. Why don't you start us off, Nathan?
Not a fucking thing. You?
I played some Warhammer.
Ooh.
Yeah, I got to play against Chaos, Warriors of Chaos, which was a very, very interesting game. Unfortunately, we ended up getting stuck playing Dawn Attack. And it was Jason's first time playing his army, and he was playing with that hodgepodge of shit he got when it came out type stuff.
So he got the one-click launch bundle, and it was right. Just like, I'll just paint it all up.
He had a Carnifex on the table. He also had a Gorbeast Chariot on the table.
Now,
he also
I have a question. Did you take any anime schoolgirls?
No.
So the
Carnifex was playing vampires.
I was going to say, so the Carnifex basically did nothing.
It did a wound to a Crypt War.
Dude, that is like 200 points well spent right there.
That's pretty much what it comes down to. But he also had a War Shrine. He had two units of Warriors. He had a 10-man unit of Knights. And he also had Scala, who I've decided has this voice. Hey, everybody, Scala's here. who wants a high five or a fist bump? You know, because you know the model's like one hand's up in a fist and the other hand's down and like open. Hey everybody, Scale is here. Hey everybody, high fives and fist bumps. Let's do this. I just kept doing that to him every time he would move Scale. He was like, shut up. That's not what he sounds like.
Now was Scylla the general?
No, he had a level 4 as a general.
He can't. Scylla has a higher leadership. What?
No. He also had a lord. That's right. Yeah. Oh. He had a lord. He had a level, was it either a level 4 or a level 3? Anyways. We were playing 2,500, but yes, Scala was not his general. But Scala did nothing because I ran him in circles. His Carnifex did nothing because I ran it in circles. And his Gorbeast Chariot mopped through, pushed through everything. Like it was actually the first game that my vampires with the strategy that I've built actually paid off and played very, very well for me. So I was pretty happy with it just because it did at least show what was going on. But at the same time, it's a win against Jason. You know, but other than that,
it doesn't affect. It's an unranked game. You know, it's like when you see in like the NHL where it's just like, oh, the old time All-Stars are going to play a scrimmage against the current team and everyone kind of knows what's going to happen. And maybe there were some nice plays throughout, but it doesn't actually affect your rankings.
It's like killing mobs far beneath your level.
Yeah,
it happens.
Get no XP out of it, man.
I mean, it. And again, even he was just like, oh, yeah, I just wanted to paint these things. He's like, so I want to use them once or twice. That was really the only thing that was to it. So again, like me playing like a fairly competitive tournament level vampire counts list against his let's play for fun list. And I even gave him the option. I was like, listen, dude, I'll just play my ogres because that's a much even that's a much more even fight. Because my ogre list is very much just the shit I have.
Well, it's true. I mean, that is how you got the original ogre army. Yeah. And then you added some Thundercats.
Right.
And...
Retardo Cats.
Oh, I know they're retarded.
Retardo Thundercats. Oh, I see what you did there because it was Snarf.
That's right.
Snarf. And a Stonehorn, which I love. Absolutely. And yeah, that was it. I didn't do any modeling or anything like that, but it was just fun to have a game. And I kept trying to get people to play a game either yesterday or today. because I really wanted to just keep playing Warhammer because I've been playing a lot of it and it's actually kind of, you know, getting me back up and into the groove and stuff like that. But it's hard. It's especially around the holidays. It's tough to get anything going. Terry, what about you? What have you been doing this week in hobby, Terry?
I threw up a blog post about Jeremy Vitok.
All right.
My pod. I actually did a lot of shopping too. I'm going to throw up a vlog on making like a scenery board that's actually will actually fit in your suitcase if you need to go traveling with it. Okay.
Like a display
tray. Yeah, like a display tray.
That's not a toilet seat.
Not, no.
Because you know, your display base probably won't have the functionality of the toilet seat.
You know what?
Because imagine while traveling.
I'm going to have to.
And you really have to go.
You really have to go. You get into the airport, and just shit and feces and probably some semen on that toilet seat. You just throw that display board down. You know, the flock's going to soak everything in, so it's not going to affect the skin. It's very comfortable. And then, yeah, you just pack that shit back up in your bag and go.
Like, if you made a decent looking one too, presumably you're sanding that thing, right? And you're putting some glue seal on that. It is not a comfortable seat no matter what, right?
Well, what if you use static grass? Static grass is actually really kind of soft. Like,
it's also like 90% semen free.
It's which is how it improves over the toilet.
There's no guarantee in any Games Workshop model being semen free, so let's say 90%.
See, the problem is I play a game that is set in the far future where there is only war, and they say nothing about grass. There is no grass when there is that much war.
Wasn't there grass on XA Cardinal, Axe Cardinal, or whatever it was?
No, because that was
all burnt out.
Trench mud.
Yeah, it was just a trench in blood, but wasn't there the one section where the chocobos grazed? Oh, no, no. That was the big long-haired, the long geese in Honor Guard. Mm. Remember, they were in the grass. Oh, God. So that's right. You're wrong, Terry.
Yeah,
all right. So
surely there's a world with grass on it. The galaxy's a big place.
In the grim, dark food.
Any of the source material I have seen regarding, you know, the far, far future, I have seen a lot of fog, like a lot of fog, and I have seen a lot of ruined cities, but no grass. No, there are no plains.
I was going to say, really? Like, even, I mean, like, fuck, New York City has Central Park. Like, you can find grass in cities.
There was a lot of fog in space, like Ultramarine. No grass. Right. There was a lot of walking, too.
I'm going to go ahead and just change the topic here, because I don't think grass and horticulture are the things that people are tuning into this show for. Let's talk about the model of the week, which
I was going to say there's one very disappointed listener right now.
He was that close to finishing when I cut him off, and he's just like, son of a bitch. Hopefully this finishes him off, though. Let's talk about bears and dwarves, because bears and dwarves win the internet.
Nathan, my God.
Fire this one off for us.
All right. So what this is... Oh, sorry. I was leaning into my computer, not the microphone. So this is Cyborg Miniature.
Are you talking at your monitor?
See, unfortunately, my microphone is almost always between me and my monitor when I'm podcasting alone. So it's just a half thing going on. Cyborg Miniatures Dwarf Warrior on War Bear. Mm-hmm. They actually have multiples. We are going to talk about number one here because, you know, it's the OG dwarf riding a bear. Again, it truly wins the internet. You basically have this giant grizzly bear with some dwarf runic armor on him, and you've got a big ass dwarf riding him with a giant shield, the armor, a big ass axe. And like I said, it's just like dwarf cavalry. Like,
and that axe is awesome.
Yes. So, I mean, it's just like, you know, we talk shit about a lot of bad models on Model of the Week because, holy crap, are there a lot of bad models. But like this, the detailing on it is really, really good. I love, I like the Celtic kind of rune, the Celtic runic look that they went for, because obviously if they did like Warhammer dwarf runes, they would totally just get.
Yeah, very much so. I mean, they keep it in the realm of Celtic Viking, right? Like they don't stray off into this Lord of the Rings-esque runic type thing where everything is just geometry as opposed to runic. And you have to appreciate the fact that they stay very, very traditional in terms of like dwarves. It's not going in the direction of like the steam power techno dwarves or, you know, the kinds of stuff that you see, like flame cannons and things of that nature. So I really, really like it. I think it's gorgeous. And as a total package, it's done very, very well. And I think what makes it so good, and it's funny that you brought up the Retardo Cats earlier, because I think it's a good comparison to make, because the Retardo Cats, they make these saber-tooth cats that just look fucking retarded, where the anatomy's all screwed up. Nothing looks...
Snarf.
Yeah, they look like Thundercats. What I love about this is that the bear is actually really underplayed, right? Yes. Like they tone it down. They basically make it so what's drawing your eye is the armor and the rider, right? It's not the other way around where all you can look at is the fucking mounts, right? And I think that that's interesting because Games Workshop tends to go the other direction.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, Games Workshop mm-hmm. really likes to, whenever there's a large element to it. So, I mean, whether it's the Stonehorn, the Retardo Cats. Plague Drones. Yeah, absolutely. Mm-hmm. For them, the rider is nothing. It's window dressing. So all they ever do is they just play up the big model, assuming that that's the only thing that you want to look out. It's the only thing that's going to draw your eye. And they usually put in so much detail that they kind of go overboard and over mm-hmm. the top. But you're right. They stayed very, very simplistic here. The bear's got like a saddle, a little bit of chainmail, a couple plates of armor around the front, and the head.
Well, his armor matches the dwarf riding him.
Oh, absolutely. Like, it basically looks like the stuff on his shoulders could literally be the rider's shield in miniature, you know, kind of strapped to mm-hmm. other bits. So, again, it is this very, very cohesive look. And you're right. The bear is in just this normal kind of walking pose. Yes, the one paw is kind of up, like it could be taking a step or swatting at something. But really... The bear is just the bear. It's delivering this very highly detailed dwarf. The face is great. The beard is excellent and kind of parted and not really braided, but separated into the pieces. He's got the big ass Viking helmet. He's got the shield, the huge axe. Like I said, it's just like your eye is drawn to the rider, which is great because you're right. Games Workshop does exactly the opposite.
Mm-hmm. No, like I think the two work very, very well together, Terry.
The one army I was going to play in fantasy is dwarves because I love painting armor. I don't mind. There's not a ton of cloth and fur is easy. The best part of this model is as I'm looking at it is it's easy to paint. It's beautifully detailed, but it's easy to paint.
There's a certain level of simplicity there that you have to appreciate.
And it's not like full of like the crappy, there's no tiny, like, you talk about all the extra
fluff skulls. Bits.
No skulls, no tiny God, blood drops on everything. Workshop. I think that that's one of the things, part of the things that you see out of these, I'll call them cottage industry model makers, because they, you know, compared to Games Workshop, that's, you know, you pour resin, you're pouring them by hand and stuff. A lot of these makers, they don't throw in all that crap, that excess crap. And it's beautiful. It's the stuff they make is beautiful, mm-hmm. and it's generic dwarf, but mm-hmm. it's still dwarf, and you can tie it into whatever army you're playing and whatever theme you're throwing into it.
Well, and if you look at the painted unit that they have on the website here, I mean, it is gorgeous, and they have a bunch of other dwarf units that look very, very good as well. But like this one, especially when you actually see it with some paint on it, it's pretty impressive, and they did it in full gold. They have one bear that's white. They have a brown and a black bear, and each one of them looks good with that gold armor color, even though you're separating each model out, you know, by the colors. My cat is rolling dice in the background. Psst. Psst. Yeah. Psst. Psst. She doesn't give a fuck.
I was going to say, it's a cat. Cats don't give a fuck. Well, no, and I think you're right. Like, when you do start looking at painted versions, it's really good. But I think, to me, the biggest strength of this is there's just such a range of mm-hmm. different ones. Because, I mean, like, right now I'm looking at the Dwarf General on War Bear. And again, it's this very understated bear, and this one's got, you know, a gorgeous paint job on it, but it's an understated bear that's just kind of there, and your eye is, again, naturally drawn to this big dwarf with the braided beard and the two big axes. And you go through, and when, you know, it's almost as if the sculptors also came back, and they're just like, look, boss, we won. We won the internet. These are dwarves on bears. Because you've got the Dwarf General on War Bear, the Dwarf King on War Bear, which, again, mm-hmm. same story. It's this beautiful beautiful model. But it's all the rider. Mm-hmm. You keep going down. You've got the Warbear number one, Warbear number two. Like I said, it's just like they realized that they struck fucking gold with it because fantastic.
I think what I appreciate as well about this is when you actually go to the general on Warbear, you actually realize that there really isn't a whole lot about this model that has been changed from the standard Warbear model. It's the exact same axe. He has an additional hand axe, which is very cool. He's got some extra pouches, and they added wings to his helmet instead of horns. You know, a little bit more elaborate shoulder pad, but it's not like they've gone from, look, here's a dwarf in armor, to like, oh my god, this guy just has eye slits. Put your flesh tones away. There's no reason for it. Like, I love the fact that they just stopped and took a breath and said, how do we make this guy stand out? Okay, let's give him a slightly different helmet and an extra weapon.
Mm. Yep.
Awesome. Like, they didn't go overboard, and they kept with that level of moderation that really, really makes that unit stand out. And I think that these are gorgeous. And if you're playing Empire and you're looking for an alternative to Dirpogriffs, this is probably a good one to go with because, hey, they could ideally ally with the Empire.
Yeah. No, honestly, and like for me, it's just like I look at these models – and my one regret is that there is no sort of cavalry equivalent in the actual dwarf mm-hmm. army book. But I'm just mm-hmm. like, you could bring them as chaos dwarf, like bull centaurs,
yep.
like a boss. And it's just like, they'd be great. I mean, you know, if you're
going to do chaos, there's more than dwarf, enough opportunity to fit it in if you're trying.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. And models like these, they're worth the effort. They're mm-hmm. absolutely worth the effort to fit in because, fuck me, they're so nice.
Okay, so obviously we love this model because we've been talking about it at length, but I'm going to have to push us on here. So let's talk about the weekly listener poll from last week, which we didn't talk about at the end of the show because...
Hey, we forgot.
We had shit going on.
It's true. We were all planning on how we had to record the SimCity, and also I had to get up at 5 in the morning to drive mm-hmm. to BC the next day, so I didn't want to be too late.
Right. We were looking at the clock, and we had plans. But the question that I tossed up on the website was... what do you think of the recently leaked photos of the new Tau Codex, which of course now Games Workshop has given us all of the pictures and all the new releases that we can expect for Tau. And the options that I threw out there were, where's the Kroot? Which we had about a 50% reply to. That was the majority of people were actually kind of upset at the fact that there were no Kroot additions or additional Kroot models shown there. Meh, more of the same was the second one, which we got about a 30% reply on. And then the last 18% roughly said, oh my god, Gundam for the win. So I think that that's actually a very, very interesting kind of cross-section of gamers, right? Again, thank you to everyone who went and voted on the weekly listener poll. I think what I find so interesting about this is you almost look at it and it's like, where the fuck are the Kroot or the people who are interested in Tau but maybe not playing them? I think the people who are like, man, more of the same are people who just aren't interested in Tau whatsoever. And the, mm-hmm. oh my God, Gundam for the win are the people who are just like, Tau, 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 Tau. And like Terry voted for that. Like it's.
Well, listen, we did bring on our resident Gundam expert yes. for the Gundam episode. So
Is she wearing a mini skirt, a plaid mini skirt?
Fuck. I'm wearing my tank girl outfit, actually. Yeah.
Bullshit. So, yes. Again, thanks to everyone who voted. We definitely appreciate it. But I think this is interesting, and this is going to lead into the main topic for today's show. Obviously, we're going to be talking about the Tau release, which we can expect soon. It's up on the Games Workshop site, and obviously we will be reviewing it. It's funny because with the fact that they gave us an army book and a codex in the same release, and it was a full month worth of talking about just that, there's almost no time to even touch on all of these other contents. Like, I haven't even looked for rumors yet. You know, the leaked from the book rumors yet. Just because there's just so much that was given to us that it's almost all speculation in my head at this point. But I was one of the ones sitting there going, oh my God, what the fuck? Where are the Kroot? Now.
Yes. So was I, because I was looking at it and I know that maybe about 1 to 2 years ago, mm-hmm. all of the rumors for the Tau were that they were going to start playing up the whole Empire bit of it. And it wasn't going to be so much Tau as it was going to be like, you know, happy Tau friends kind of thing.
Mm-hmm.
And there was going to be Demiurge, and they were going to add in Guvesa again for the human worlds that have voluntarily joined the Tau Empire.
Oh, side note here, actually, since we are talking about Tau this episode, get used to us sounding like we're trying to speak Klingon and failing. Because there's a lot of, like, names on the website as we read them, where it's like, Shazolo, Turetaeu, Shazang, otherwise known as Longstrike. I'm just like, who the fuck named him Longstrike? Which one named that guy Longstrike? Who looked at his name and was like, yeah, Longstrike? Anyways.
I got nothing.
Fire away. You were saying, Nathan?
It's like Richard and Dick. how did we get here? Mm-hmm. No, but I mean, again, the rumors were that they were really going to start playing up all the different races that make up the Tau Empire, and they were all going to have different roles to play, and they were going to start filling niches. Because as we all know that because this hasn't been released till next week, in the current Tau Codex, there are some big gaping holes. Namely, they have absolutely no fucking power weapons. They have no units with, really good survivability, right? They just do not have these sorts of elements in the list. And so the rumors that were flying around 1 to 2 years ago was that all these other races were going to be the way to fill those holes while keeping Tau, you know? So
Vespid. You got Vespid.
It's true. That way you also have that overpriced worthless unit that never sees the light of day, like Burning Chariots of Tzeentch and Pyrovores.
Objective markers. They are the prettiest markers in the freaking game right now.
Saying you got Vespid also sounds like I'm saying you contracted a sexually transmitted disease.
You know, it actually does.
Yeah, oh, dude, you got Vespid? You should have wrapped that shit twice.
I told you not to hit that, man. Right.
That bitch was crazy. Mandibles and shit.
In the 41st millennium, there are only mandibles?
Oh, we are going? Classing this podcast up. Quick, Terry, say something about Discharge.
Oh, my God.
So, Terry, you also agree that they donut?
They donut? No, the problem I'm finding is, like, the Kroot. And you know what drives me crazy is, if you look at the Tau Empire book, if we're going with stuff that's in the book and we're, and you're looking at the, I'm looking at the product list and I'm saying, yeah, you can buy more Tau, like more Kroot. Kroot's still sitting in the troop slot. Mm-hmm. Why do I still have Kroot Hounds in 4 packs of fine cast? Right. Why am I not getting a plastic box of 12?
Because fuck your couch.
Also, it's like the only freaking unit in the army that is initiative 5 that isn't a special character and ridiculous, and they're fucking awesome. So, like, it drives me crazy a little bit because I'm just like, I'm also looking at fine cast Krutox, and it boggles my mind because that was one of the most horrible models to build in pewter.
Yeah, I was going to say, Lang,
it didn't change anything about it in fine cast.
In all the time that you worked at Games Workshop, did you ever see a Krutox that was not mismolded? No. Because I never did.
No,
single one.
We had more half a Krutox in our back room and in the huge boxes that came for the bits, the auctions where they would just send us boxes of bits. And it was just like, I remember pulling out 1 year, I think I pulled out something like 37 Krutox left halves, right? Which I also used to play base for. But the
37 Krutox left halves was probably my favorite one. I mean, the sound, it wasn't all like prog rocky.
Oh yeah, no, we were Christian folk punk band. But yes, I agree, Terry. And really, I don't agree with people who voted for Mem or the same, because really, I think what we're getting is more of what people like, and people
plastic
who love
Pathfinders.
Yes. Oh, that box is gorgeous.
Oh my
but
God.
Like the people who look at the Tau and they sit there and they say, oh, okay, you know, I love that, you know, pseudo anime kind of mixture of tastes that you get out of that. Not anime rape, because if you're doing that, you're playing Warriors of Chaos. But, you know, like the people who are looking at that and love it are going to love what's coming out. The problem is that there are people who like Tau and aren't necessarily big into the Mananga.
The Mananga.
The Mananga.
That would be me.
Exactly, right? Like, and that's the issue is you're not looking at the army as a whole. Mm. You're just saying, well, this sells. Go. And that's kind of what bugs me about it, is because there are a lot of people out there who love the Kroot, and especially like you were talking about, Terry, in the book, there's so much there, not even just in the rules, but in the fluff.
The fluff.
Like the fluff provides you with so much rich content it's very strange. And I'll stop you here because I was speaking to John Kingsway, and he told me that what is apparently being planned and rumored is that there will be an Allies Codex, and the Allies Codex will basically just be units that you can take as allies in virtually any army.
Interesting.
And that the Kroot are going to be a big part of that, and that specific units and armies and things like that will work very well. And apparently there's going to be a better association with Tau.
Where like more of them, yeah, like you get a,
well, not even a cheaper version, but like you get a better rule for including them as allies. So like the Tau Empire does something. But again, that's all very like, hey, in the best world, what we imagine might happen.
So what you're saying is there's going to be Warhammer 40,000 Dogs of War. Because we know how well Games Workshop loves to support Dogs of War as an army and as an idea. So I think it's a really, really awesome plan that they are going to release a codex once just so they can ignore it and then eventually phase it out. Great idea.
Well, this is the first. This is the first time I've ever choked on my scotch.
No, but so here's the thing. The Kroot have always, like, dude, I remember people taking Kroot in, like, their orc list.
Mm-hmm. That was Alan just Polkoff. Alan. That was just Alan. My orcs need snipers.
My orcs need snipers. But, like, you have this long history with the Kroot that is also separate from the Tau in terms of fluff. Mm-hmm. And also separate from the Tau in terms of crunch. Like, you know, the White Dwarf supplements and chapter approved stuff. To go with the Kroot is amazing. There was amazing Kroot stuff. Merc
army,
right?
was a great, feasible, functional standalone army. Well, I mean, broken as shit. What do you mean? There's this one unit that allows you a guaranteed first turn charge, and they have over 200 attacks. This is some bullshit. No, but I mean, I don't know. For me, I think my only issue is, I mean, when you look at it is clear that Kroot are still in. But when you also look at all of the model releases and all of everything, it seems quite obvious to me that they are not addressing the Tau's inherent weakness of the close combat phase.
There is no power weapons in the models.
There are still no power weapons except probably Oshova. You know, mm-hmm. Commander Farsight will have. That's interesting that they don't even call him Oshova anymore.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Anyway, he will probably have the only power weapon in the list. There's still no sort of powerful close combat units. So the Kroot end up sitting in exactly the same role that they used to sit in. And I mean, don't get me wrong, I could be wrong. The Riptide suits probably gonna count as a monstrous creature and therefore ignore armor.
No, I think it's gonna count as a vehicle with a dreadnought close combat weapon.
Yeah.
Possibly. I personally think it's gonna be a monstrous creature that is a jetpack because I could be completely wrong, right? Mm. I mean, either way, I think the Riptide is gonna be kind of an answer to close combat, but you're looking at most two, three attacks, weapon skill 3. Like it's not even going to be a great solution for that.
Well, look at how many guns that thing has on it. It's not going
to
be.
No, it's not your dreadnought. Yeah. It's not meant to be your dreadnought.
It's your fallback. So okay, well here's the interesting thing then, because on the release page from Games Workshop, we do see that they will be selling a pack of Farsight Enclave Fire Warrior shoulder pads. Obviously
misfolded, mind you.
Well, it's misfolded.
Come on, it's
look at the model they have on the picture. Like,
yeah, actually,
no, that's Photoshop.
Shoulder pad.
Shoulder pad Photoshop.
No, look at the model of Fire Warrior.
But if you look at the Photoshop, you can clearly see that there is a bubble right in the middle of that.
Bad.
Emblem.
It is bad mold.
And that was the best one.
Brutal.
Like, I don't understand why they didn't use a shoulder pad they photoshopped 10 times over.
Because shut up, idiot.
Yeah, exactly. No, okay, they certainly did.
But here's my question, though. Do you think that what we're going to get for people who feel like they need a little bit more close combat with this Farsight Enclave shoulder pad, hootenanny?
Ooh, a hootenanny.
It's a full-on.
Well, if you want more assault. Shindig. If you want more assault with your Tau, you better buy some more Kroot hounds at.
Well, it's just okay.
$30 for four.
$30 a four.
Okay, fair enough. Yes, but Farsight is specifically the close combat Tau, and so the Farsight Enclave we have to assume is either going to be an upgrade for one unit of Fire Warriors or something that you can upgrade your entire army with. Do you think that that's going to make it assault focused, or do you think that it's just going to make it like elite Tau focused?
preferred enemy on orcs is what you're going to get.
I was going to say, it's what you've gotten every other book.
Yeah, it's a fluff list. It's a fluff add-on. And knowing Jeremy Bitok wrote it, that's what the rule is probably going to be.
That's yay.
He's a fluff nutter. It's always been that way, right? Like
a nutter. No, but look, if we go back a second, I'm actually very happy that they released the Farsight Enclave shoulder pads, because this is the first time in years that Games Workshop is releasing basically a supplement to allow you to take a fluffier kind of list. Because, I mean, back in second edition, they made all those pewter Space Marine chapter shoulder pads, but they haven't done that since second edition. We've never gotten, this is all one codex, here is stuff specifically for you. So if we look at the Codex Space Marines as an example, they didn't create Salamander shoulder pads to go with that. They didn't create White Scar's shoulder pads to go with that. Mm-hmm. Those were holdovers. If they, you know, I don't even think Salamanders have shoulder pads, so sorry, John.
They did used to have metal ones.
Oh, okay, in which case, great, they do. But the funny thing is being made in second edition, they were like 10% smaller than regular shoulder pads, and they always looked kind of off. But it's just like, I like the fact that they did this. The fact that they went out and they created this thing that you can customize your collection. So if you wanted to play a Farsight Enclave because you thought the fluff was super interesting and you love that fucking Oshova model because it's amazing, you can take this and go with it. And they have never done that before. And it feels like a step back in the direction of play your army your way instead of this is your list. So,
well, they've made, like, you know, back in the day when you could bit sorter stuff, I remember bit sortering, like, I don't know, at least 2 dozen of those Oshova shields. Like, I mean, the stuff was out there, but, and I remember seeing all sorts of people used to convert those shoulder pads to the different Tau planets. Like, they have the pictures, and you know, I don't know, I think that fetish, this is the fetishization of the Tau Codex.
Oh, so you're saying in the next one you're going to have a Tau Empire Codex and then a Farsight Enclave Codex?
Well, no, what you have to have first is an entire Tau cadre that don't wear helmets and they've got fangs. Then you need another Tau cadre that doesn't wear helmets, has fangs, and are vampires.
The question is Matt Ward going to write the next version of this codex?
I doubt it.
I should be safe.
Please, no.
Matt Ward loves his Marines. But no, okay. So let's actually talk about the models now. I'm going to push us on here. Obviously, we've got a couple of different options, some hilarious options here. The one-click launch collection saves you a total of 0 pennies, which is amazing.
Yeah, but all of them save you 0.
Yes, it's just the fact that they're still doing it. I have to wonder who's buying these things that they think that this is an amazing business decision. But okay, let's talk about the limited edition Tau Codex, because this is the first one we actually have some very interesting pictures with it. And Terry, you've apparently purchased it.
Oh, already. It's already, my money's already in Games Workshop's hands for this thing.
She saw it and literally did like the fry, shut up and take my money. Because she even said, she's just like, well, I don't want to put it on credit card. I'd rather pay debit. So we'll just swing by the workshop tomorrow morning on our way to Imaginary Wars. And then she's like, oh shit, they take PayPal. Okay. And she literally just bought it that moment. As soon as she's like, I can PayPal this shit.
Yeah. Well, I mean, the slipcover is very cool. I like how it's kind of that clear slipcover. That's always kind of a nice thing. It's interesting because it's like, if you're going to plastic wrap all of your codexes from now on, why not go with the slipcover on all of them?
Yeah.
And you know what would be awesome is if the slipcover was also a quick reference sheet?
It would, but it's clear from like the second last photo that it is not.
It's vellum.
You know, clearly. I was just coming up with awesome ideas that they should.
It's true. And when the next codex is a quick reference, we're going to fucking sue them for everything they're worth.
Let's talk about the Riptide battle suit.
You know, I love the aesthetic. I mean, for someone who, I don't like Gundams. I've never been the girl.
I'm not a fan of the Gundams.
The Gundams? Well, I mean, like, you play
the
now.
Young kids these days with the Gundams.
You're the Asian
the
girl who shows up to
music.
Tournaments, plays and My Little Ponies, and their Gundams. The first thing people come up to you and say isn't, hi, what's your name? It's, have you watched Appleseed?
Oh, come on. Usually, they would ask what country you're from, because they wanted to know whether, like, you fit their masturbatory fantasies first. Good old awkward gamers.
But so it's, I mean, I think what it is maybe it's just because I'm looking at all the freaking guns on this thing going, oh my god, that would be so freaking cool just to field and shoot. Maybe it's because of my past experience with carrying Tau Crisis suits and broadsides in my Games Workshop case, but like I am looking at those ankles and I am looking at the little antenna on the back of the calves, and I'm just like, the place where that antenna meets the scale, right? You see it on top of the multi-tracker on the top of the model as well on the shoulder.
Mm-hmm.
That fucking place is impossible to fix. And those antennas snap off. It's like, it's perfectly perforated for clean snappage right along those
areas.
Oh,
yeah. Games Workshop sculpted perfect. The stress break for you. It's
right there.
Well,
so
just,
it will all be clean breaks because they're all in the same place.
And I think that's, you know, it's unfortunate. And this thing is supposedly twice the size of any other Crisis suit, right? So you can't use, like,
well, you can see the scale
stuff, right?
You can see the scale beside the gun drones, and it's fucking enormous.
It's enormous, yes. Right?
Well, as I told the wife, I was just like, look, if you end up picking them up, I'm just going to get you a battle phone case.
Well, and that's the issue, you know.
Because it's like Games Workshop cases will be 100% incapable of transporting this because they are sticking to their second edition bullshit. Everything is just a stock Space Marine infantry model. Here, every army just buy the same fucking case.
Right.
And they're releasing bigger and bigger and more convoluted and more complex models. I mean, like, you play ogres. Would you ever use a Games Workshop case to transport your ogre army?
I have the old cloth case, and basically
by them.
Right. And basically what I do is I take the one side that was meant for tanks where it was just like the egg carton foam. And I put that on both sides, and then I just lay all of my models on that, and then I just put the regular, like, foam trays that came with it that are slightly larger on top of it, and just let it press everything down into the egg cartons, and that's how I transport that army. And I transport it with a bottle of glue and clippers and some accelerator, because that shit breaks.
I just find it hilarious because Games Workshop always advertises now that they're a model making company and they make the best miniatures in the world, but they cannot make a product to transport those miniatures worth a damn.
I have yet to see one person buy the large case and have it last a year. A year.
It's I was going to say mine fell apart in about 8 months. The and lid snapped off because the hinge was broken.
The hinges, the straps, like, that thing is ridiculous.
Topical holiday reference and metaphor. It's like one of those chocolate bunnies that are hollow on the inside. And you go to take it out of the box, it just crumbles into your hand. Like, that's the thing about those cases. It's just that thin plastic layer with the air in between it.
Mm.
You know, and you're constantly...
Like, the foam... The foam doesn't even fit the case perfectly. No. Like, it shifts around, and it drives me crazy. So I'm, like, looking at this
suit.
Well,
no, that's where your magic and Primaris Psyker Power card is supposed to go to keep it in place. And movement trays slide into the side.
Yeah.
Idiot.
Like, how can you release a model like this and not, like, there's, what are you going to put it in?
Well, see, your battle foam case, because battle foam will actually, because I mean, like, what I appreciate about them, and I don't want this to sound like a commercial, but it's just like, because I've used, I think,
they have their own podcast, so it's not like
true.
They're gonna sponsor
they have their own podcast to be a commercial for, but it's just like, I've, you know, I own a battle foam case, I own a Sable case, I own a Games Workshop case, so it's just like, I kind of slut around and try to find something that fits the best. But what they do well is they will design foam trays so you can just sort of slot your model in on flying stands and all. And I know it's a dickbag thing to do because they're basically cutting out 3, 4, 5 inches of room on your case because they're like, don't take it off the flying stand. Just slot it right in so it's 3 inches taller. But at least shit doesn't break.
Are you trying to make all of these sex dick metaphors, or am I just drunk?
I think it's just, a little bit of both.
I was going to say, it is a little bit of both.
Because you can't, there was one point you came back and I was like, he's doing it on purpose now. Nathan, you're a genius. But no, I agree. What's funny about this is that every time Games Workshop will release a different case, it's for something ridiculous. Like, they're just like, hey, you need a Dark Vengeance case. And you're just like, wait, okay, if you're willing to make a case for a starter kit that nobody's really ever going to use or buy.
Or transport.
Well, especially. Yeah, I bring my Dark Vengeance set over to Games Workshop all the time.
All the time. It's so weird. Like, if you're going to make something like that, why the fuck are you not making, like, okay, how genius a decision would this be? Where they're just like, oh, yeah, so, you know, we released the Carnifex, and here is a foam insert that you can buy separately. It's half the size of a standard carrying case, and it perfectly fits a Carnifex.
It fits three.
get $35. Like, who would not buy that?
Yeah, but, like, this is one of those things, again, where it's like, so Games Workshop retail stores are intended to bring people into the hobby. So the starter hobbyists. They're not for tournament players, not for veteran players. You get to the same point when it comes to, like, cases. They don't make cases for veteran gamers. They make cases for little boys who want to bring their models to Games Workshop to paint. And that's all they have, right? So,
hear that, little boys? Terry's not impressed with you.
Not impressed with you.
She is
such a size queen, isn't she?
Let's get back to the Riptide. Let's get back to the Riptide.
You better hope I am.
Size queen action. Yes. Obviously, it's got a shit ton of guns. I love the fact that they give you two poses for the legs. I think that is
you have very, to build cool this thing choice. Kneeling.
If yeah,
you
I was are not say, building it. It's very interesting that they do give you the two poses. And yes, you have to build it kneeling so that A, you have less stress on those shitty ankle joints because it looks like it's going to break there.
It will break.
Because it's really top heavy. And B, Games Workshop themselves are now allowing you to model for advantage.
Yes.
This is a true line of sight game. I now get easier cover saves.
All right, so obviously we don't have the rules, so we're not going to spend too much time on that. Crisis suits haven't really changed. Let's talk about the Sunshark Bama.
I'm looking at the one with the nacelle.
She's such a Trekkie, isn't she?
That's so great. I love that you called it a nacelle because now I can't unsee that. All I see is a Maquis shuttle.
Oh my gosh. That's
all I see right now is a Maquis shuttle.
Okay, so who's
jettison the warp core?
Dude, it's like, but like it's gorgeous on the inside there. And
Ro Laren's piloting that one. Except in this army, her name is Shasola Losha Arua Shang, otherwise known as...
The one with the bumpy face.
Otherwise known as Ro Laren.
But, like, yeah, you know, it's... okay, nobody... I've yet to meet someone who really hates the Tau vehicle.
Mm-hmm. Oh, no.
Mob.
Oh, like, I got
the
shit.
Lines are always beautiful. They're clean. They're straight. And... they're very, like, you look at them from afar and you can say, you know, Tau, immediately. You can automatically, you know, pick them out. And this totally looks Tau.
I had someone so bitch where they're like, it's just a devilfish with longer wings.
That's the point.
Everything's well, actually, the same vehicle. It's the same design. It's the same aesthetic.
I was going to say, whoever said that needs to shut the fuck up because it's a piranha. With a closed cockpit and longer wings.
Okay,
deal. And it's awesome because the Piranha is such a great fucking model, too.
And the nacelle. I do have to wonder what the nacelle is going to do in terms of game. Because I guarantee you that the little Babylon 5 wonky thing on the underside of the missile pod is some sort of weapon.
I bet you put it on your model. And you roll, and you get extra D, whatever.
I love the pop-up one-shot missiles.
Dude, it's... like, you know what's interesting to me is I'm not seeing anything that looks like smart missiles.
On any Seeker vehicles. Missiles, you
Seeker
mean.
Missiles,
I don't think we're going to see Seeker missiles anymore.
Yeah, you know what? You're right. Like, anything
maybe
that's...
only on the Sky Ray because it's modeled.
How much have you seen in terms of the rest of the game that has anything that is, like, actually, like, spent? You use it, and it's gone. Mm-hmm. There's none of that.
Manticore.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, shut up, idiot. Ahead. All right, let's talk about broadsides.
Deathstrike.
They really remodel these well. I gotta say, I think that the bulkier look and the fact that they're
stealing a little bit from Forge World, and I like that.
Well, it's smart.
For me, I think my only complaint is you look at the Riptide and it's gorgeous. You look at the new broadsides and I love it. And then what do you get with the disappointing Crisis suits? You get a rebox from singles to threes. And I'm just like, really? We still, God damn it.
You know what? Yeah. You know what? I'm gonna throw this out there because I'm wondering if Terry notices this as well. Nathan has gone from going, yeah, no, absolutely, to saying is.
Yeah,
and if you get like a triple is, that's shots.
You know what? They're probably making like there's got to be the Jaded Gamer cast like
drinking game. And if not, I was gonna say as soon as this goes out on Monday, by Friday it'll be posted to our Facebook. Well, page.
Somebody might put it together. It's like, and when they say dicks,
when Lang makes a gay reference, that's
right. when Lang says that he played bass for it, finish your drink.
Oh my god!
But like,
anyways, model, gorgeous model.
Yeah, the you know, I think that's a so over the last few years I have been buying the Forge World broadsides
because they are like $10 cheaper.
They were cheaper than the Games Workshop broadsides, and they were better in every way. And again, I'm looking at the legs, but like anyone who has built the old Games Workshop broadside knows how fucking awful the ankles were on that thing, especially with the pewter guns on the top.
Yeah, I was gonna say that's because it was literally shitty Crisis suit, and then they added even more weight up top to kind of rip it.
And they also made metal feet on the bottom that didn't quite slid in to the ball joint that they used to put in that.
Oh, that's right. It was metal feet for no reason.
It was awful. So the join was always really a little bit messed up in that.
We always had to fill it with either putty with green stuff or glue.
You got to stick the flying base up, the flying base stand thing up the ass of the Crisis suit just to keep them upright.
Yeah,
and that was just something you had to do.
And that was what he usually did Friday night.
These look, they're beautiful, and I love the dynamic posing on them. I love the dynamic posing of all the suits I'm seeing, and I think that's something that is new in the aesthetic.
There is one thing that I cannot get out of my mind, and it kills the model for me. Does it not look like he is playing bass for 37 mismolded left crew toxes? Like, it's just like the way he's holding that rail gun. Oh, totally. It looks like he's playing bass.
37 mismolded left sides.
Yeah.
You know what's crazy though is you look at
that broadside model is now known as the Lang.
The Lang. Look at the way he's holding the gun, and if you're using the 360 fancy thing going on.
He doesn't have hands because they just go into the gun?
They just go into the gun. But can you imagine, like, as someone who used to mold old edition, like, Space Marines that had the wrist that, went onto the gun, how much fun is that going to be to mold? To model on?
You know what's funny, though, is, like I said, for me, I'm not digging the rail gun, but the missile variant I think is fantastic. Like, when you flip over to the missile variant, I'm just like, this is probably my favorite model in the entire range. Big old missile hands, the Seeker missile behind the one shoulder, even more missiles on the other shoulder. And I'm just like, you know what?
He's packing heat.
Just like, it looks awesome. It's big. It's bulky. The pose he has where he's kind of walk, like, the legs look like he's trying to stride forward. And instead of rocking out guitar, he's just, like I said, it's just fucking missiles everywhere. Well, dicks.
Yeah, absolutely. Everywhere. I mean, outside of the fact that I used to play bass for Big Ol' Missile Hands, I love the fact that they made...
Finish it.
They were a new age country band. I only played bass for them for 3 weeks. But no, what I love so much about this is that the head is different. They've really given the broadsides a new look to them. But I think that this one complements the scale and the bulkiness of the model more than anything else, right? The super bass playing double railgun dude is cool, but again, you kind of look at him and he's just so, there's just too much happening, right? Like, he's just, it's a lot of model happening all at the same time. I think that this one is really, really nice. It's really cool. Obviously, we know that nobody's going to take it, unfortunately, because it's not going to be the anti-tank that they want, but I think it's a gorgeous model. I mean, we'll have to wait for the rules and actually see what's up.
That thing is... I bet you that thing is going to be the freaking flyer killer. That's the flyer killer.
Oh, yeah. Right, I could see some Skyfire in that.
Maybe.
Yeah, I could see the back, the backpack. If you maybe bought an upgrade, one of the little shoulder peeper cams might give it Skyfire.
And I think that's the one thing that this list.
Peeper cams.
I just assumed that tower peeping toms.
Well, of course they
are. Depth perception. It's like that bitch is right in front of them. You could jerk off to anything. You open up a Playboy and they're like, oh, and she's across the room. Take another drink.
The thing about that
I'm out of scotch.
Like we talk about the lack of power weapons in the models.
Friday.
But all I see in every model, the new Riptide, the new Broadside, all I see is all sorts of dead flyers. Like lots of dead flyers.
Well, I think Tower will very much be the anti-flyer.
Skyray will get the Skyfire special rule. I mean, it was designed as an anti-flyer tank.
Clearly.
Before flyers existed. Years before flyers existed. And then when they got brought into the game, they just said, you know what? Skyrays are shit at shooting at flyers.
And you're like, they're just going to straight up change the rules for the Flyray. The Skyray. Specifically because of the fact that, again, we're not seeing the seeker missiles, right? Like,
the special variant has a seeker missile on his back.
Yeah, well, I think that, again, that's going to be an anti-air missile.
Hopefully. Either way, I think that I am hoping that is the better variant. Obviously, we know the railgun is going to be a railgun. But I'm hoping that the rockets is still worth taking because I love that variant of Poe's a lot more than Johnny Bass Guitar.
Let's talk about
Pathfinder's. Best in the Lang.
Let's talk about Pathfinder's plastic kit.
Gorgeous. Oh,
wonderful. Gorgeous. Best thing we've seen.
You know what scares me, though, is that slot into the devilfish thing.
Yeah, the giant drone can suppose...
No.
Okay, I was going to say, it says it could be upgraded onto a devilfish.
It tells me that they might need to buy a fucking devilfish to take.
What it tells me is that they're not changing the devilfish box. Like, if you look at the list of releases, there is a devilfish Pathfinder combo, right?
Again, that's a one-click bundle.
It's the bundle, the save a no pennies bundle. But again, I think that that's just going to be on this sprue because they felt like it's easier to release the Pathfinder box and just throw that in there and say, hey, if you go buy a devilfish, you can now use this part. But otherwise, it's just not, you're not going to be able to use it.
And this is where I get back into the VTOC is a fluff nutter, right? The guy, he knows the history of the Tau. Mm-hmm. He loves that sort of stuff. And instead of changing the history, like Matt Ward would, he's instead adding.
Yeah, Matt Ward would have just rewritten the Tau to just be like, they're a vassal state to the Imperium, and the Imperium owns everything.
You see, they're a lot like the ancient Egyptians.
Yeah. No, but like and
Sumerians. He's already written the ancient Egyptian codex.
But like you're looking at and the fact that they include it in this kit, I'm looking at it and I'm thinking, well, why would I need to buy on the suggest have you got sidebar, you know, another devilfish if you're not going to make me buy a fucking devilfish?
Well, now, the one thing that I like about it that I don't think my wife noticed is when you look at the weapon options, they have the usual pulse carbines. They got the rail rifle in the top right. But in the bottom right, it looks like there's a new gun, which looks like rifles. A mini ion cannon.
Well, it says ion rifles.
Oh, does it?
It says in the description, they can carry a selection of weapons, including pulse carbines, rail rifles, and ion rifles. This kit includes an enormous recon drone that can be mounted on a devilfish, not included.
Well, no, like I said, because it was just like, just looking at the barrel, it looks like an ion cannon, just like the Riptide looks like he can have an ion cannon.
So strength 6, maybe assault 1 or 2?
Yeah, I was going to say, the ion cannon as is 7 AP3 heavy 3, so...
Frick.
Something along those lines.
What I really like is you actually get some cool stuff in terms of the accompanying drones. Because I think that the pulse accelerator drone is going to be a shooting specific type thing. Or it's going to make essentially your pulse grenades better. That and then the other one, I love how they say the pulse accelerator drone with a 4-pronged device.
I am so glad that they did that, because I can tell you, when I first started Tyranids and they didn't do that bullshit, I built a whole box of Gaunts with Devourers because I thought they looked cooler and had no fucking clue which gun was which. I mean, granted, this is like 14 years ago, but...
And then we get a Grav Inhibitor drone, which I assume is just move through cover. That would be my guess.
Well, I think Grav Inhibitor drone is going to make them count as being in difficult terrain anytime that someone tries to charge them.
That actually also makes sense. Yeah.
Because it makes it harder to complete that
charge. What if it was something cool, like you had to roll an extra d6 and take the lowest for charge distance?
Oh my god, I would
fail. How fucking amazing would that be?
So, right? I want you guys to tell me how many Pathfinders used to be allowed in a unit.
4 to 8.
4 to 8.
Now,
he beat me to it.
I want you to tell me.
I was going to say it right away because I remembered. But
what was the old capacity of a devilfish?
4 to 8.
And how many models are there in this kit?
No, I haven't counted. 10? 10. There's 10.
10 Pathfinders, 2 drones.
So what's the capacity?
See, you know, I think I was going to say, what I find interesting, though, is you used to not be able to have drones embark onto devilfish. So I think that
they're just unit upgrades. I don't think they're going to count as models. I don't think they're going to be able to take it.
Look,
I think these are
listen. They have changed. Okay, hold on. Listen.
So many times.
I will use my powers as an internet soothsayer to talk about drones for a second. They are going to correct.
If there's anything to abuse your powers as an internet soothsayer exactly. on, this is the one you cannot pass exactly. up.
Well, exactly. I was going to say. They are going to correct drones. Everyone is going to look at however drones work and go, oh my god, that makes so much sense. And then in 1 year's time, they're going to release some sort of upgrade or new piece of war gear for some army that is going to completely invalidate drones and make it so that they're just absolutely fucking broken, yeah. worthless pieces of trash. Yep. Because that is what has happened to drones with every Tau Codex release. Because
they're outside the rules. It's not like they're their own unit, right? Like if they had put drone as a unit type in the 40k rulebook, you'd be like, good, they've accounted for this
or something,
anything. Yeah, but obviously I think we can all agree this is by far the most gorgeous kit. They did a really, really good job on it. The
we're gonna talk about is my favorite kit, to be honest.
Yeah,
the helmetless faces is what I really, really like about this, because I think they did a good job of making the Tau look more alien and less just humans without noses. Which leads me to Cadre Fireblade.
Like I said, this is my favorite kit because it's also
for real.
Yeah.
Oh my god.
You know, Lang. Maybe you weren't the guy who was the fan of.
He looks like a cave troll.
He's like a cave.
No, but you know, down and he's like.
Until they start posting pictures of the sprues.
I just like the fact that when you actually look at how he's holding the knife, it's clear he does not know how knives work. Which merely reinforces my point that Tau don't know how power weapons work. They don't know melee.
So the handle's the part I hit him with, right?
Because it's quite clear the way he is. It's just like, wait, you mean there's something inside this case? I always thought knives were these hard plastic things.
I'm sorry. I hate this model.
Okay.
I hate this model because his cape goes under his shoulder pad. His shoulder pad is what, magnetized?
Well, yes. I mean, if I can magnet wings on. Maybe it's just like I like the fact that they kind of went this direction with this model. And I think this is what I like most about it is the fluff idea. If you look at the whole product guide for Tau, the Cadre Fireblade is listed under an HQ choice. So basically, this guy is literally just a fucking Fire Warrior HQ choice. So if you want to take an HQ that isn't an ethereal and isn't in a crisis suit, this is your only option. So he is that. He's also a multi-part plastic kit, which means he's going to be one of those like sort of plastic sprue things. I do think the one arm that's raised is a little funny, and that joint is awkward.
It's like shifted off to the side.
Yeah, but dude, you know, every now and then you go swimming, things move around, like you know, it happens.
Fair enough. I sat on my own foreskin earlier. Well, when the podcast started, because obviously, as everyone remembers, I podcast naked.
Well, I mean, it's would you go any other way? What I do like about this, though, is when they show, like, they're clearly showing the base and how it's like, oh, look, it's like the sculpted base. But I love how it's just like Tau hoofed feet or cloven hoofed feet. Like it's nice. But I like it from a perspective of I have options in my HQ choice. I think that the bulkier kind of ornamental Fire Warrior look is good. I love the scope on his pulse rifle. I think the only thing that I personally would do would be swap that arm for one out of the Fire Warrior or Pathfinder kit, because it's clear he doesn't know how knives work.
Yeah.
But I think, like I said, that is my only sort of complaint with this model. Like I said, I like
a 3+ save. That's a lot of armor.
That is a lot of armor. I would be surprised if he didn't have a 3+ save. But like I said,
cave trolls have thick hide.
Well, I mean,
Well, when you add 3+ to skin roll, you're really looking at a 2+.
What's like, that, Terry? Like, you have to be louder if you want to interrupt these two bickering bitches.
I think you guys need to count how many tau symbols he's got on his body. Oh my god,
let's do it.
To like,
oh my god, this is the closest to
3, 4, 5, 6.
Yeah,
seven, under his fingers. I'm assuming the one under his fingers is the 7th.
Yeah, he definitely has 7 with his fingers. He has 7.
Right? Like,
no, 8, 9, 10, 11. Because if you look at the metal braid, I'm just going to call them scrunchies, the metal braid scrunchies beside his head, the top one looks like a tau symbol, and it looks like the other ones are just badly molded.
Well, that's odd.
Let's say 10.
Let's say 10. So I get that he's supposed to be symbolic of the leadership, but blah, 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 blah. And I get, like, that's why he's carrying a blade he doesn't know how to hold.
He's going to punch you with a...
It's a freaking honor blade, right? Like, I get knife. That, because, like... Well, they talk about the honor blades.
This is how knives work. I'm knifing.
I'm knifing. They talk about honor blades in the old codex, and they're like, used to be a ceremonial painted on blade, right? Like, the guys didn't even, like, carry them, right?
I'm carrying my honor blade.
Right, hold on. When he does a Crocodile Dundee impression, he genuinely does not think it's a knife.
It's true.
But like,
that one's for people our age.
Yes.
Oh, God. The belt buckle and there's so much to this.
Isaac, I don't think it's terrible. I like it.
It's a 9-piece component. It's got a sculpted base, which is great.
Yeah, I was gonna say, realistically for me, the only thing that I would change is the knife arm. I would take something out of the Pathfinder kit and do a swap there.
The knife arm. Kidding me? That knife arm is going on like.
See, I just think you will take it so you can tell the joke of I don't know how knives work. I'm Tau.
I wonder if the kit will actually come with a helmeted version though, because I think that's one of the things like.
There's no braid like that.
Shadow Sun had a braid just like it. Came with a helmeted version. The helmeted version. That's true.
Sun did have 2 heads.
If the head is separate, just grab a Fire Warrior head and toss it on there.
Dude, yeah,
totally.
It's a good looking model though. It's nice to see them do something with that armor.
All right, are we going to talk about the best model release yet?
Go for it.
Farsight.
Let's talk about Farsight.
So the old Oshova model was basically a crisis suit with a fancy shield on one arm and a fancy sword on the other and a different head. This Farsight resculpt is unbelievable. You know, he's keeping the same war gear. He's still got the plasma. He's still got the blade of Catan Necrodermis, which is amazing. Let's just hope that they didn't write out that it is no longer Catan Necrodermis. Hey, did Catan even have Necrodermis anymore, thanks to Matt Ward?
No,
it's not. Motherfuckers. And then, you've got the elaborate shield, which more closely resembles the Riptide suit's shield because it has the kind of fin action going on. It's a dynamic pose. He's got the trailing banners. Like I said, for me, I think that this is a home run.
Yeah,
they were able to take crisis suits and they were able to make it look like a crisis suit but look 100 times better.
Mm-hmm.
All at the same time.
So well, here's what I'm gonna ask you again. You're looking at this beautifully detailed fine cast model, which means that you've got resin that is beautifully brittle.
Listen, all I need to do is
those banners.
Once I learn how to build it with my toothbrush and my liquid green stuff
and your butter knife, then, don't forget your butter knife. That butter knife is important.
It is the most important. I will be able to somehow figure out the transportation issues.
Like it's just
I will use my telepathy to encase it so that it doesn't break.
This is where I am. And I don't know if it's my hate, like my dislike of people asking me about Appleseed, or if it's actually me just not liking Gundam. But I'm looking at this model going, oh yeah, he's gonna break, and he is gonna break at that fucking ankle right there. You see where he's gonna break.
Well, you can see one piece.
The cast is super light, so it's not going to be. It's not going to be.
You moving it across the table.
Yeah, right. You know, it's not like the issues that you have with the plastic ankles with the pewter on top right. That really add the weight. Like, it's just like every single time you pick up fine cast, you always have to remark, oh my god, this is literally the thinnest, cheapest foot resin available to man, because this doesn't weigh anything. Right. There's literally no substance to it.
Right. Yeah, it's made out of good intentions and dust.
Good intentions and dust.
Which I also played bass for years ago. But that was a long time ago. I played bass for Good Intentions and Dust. That was a long time ago.
But I'm looking at those Fraley Platters.
Finish your drink.
All I see
I'm on my
is...
third scotch. You guys better be through that fucking bottle of champagne.
Yeah. Yes,
we are. Well, Terry's a slow drinker, so she's got the last cup.
Goddamn vaginas.
Okay, so 4'8". Shut up, guys. Both of you are over 6 feet tall.
That's true. It is actually true.
Counts. Heyo.
But like
size queen.
I'm at a point where
that is the name of this episode, by the way.
Size queen, done.
Perfect.
And then the quote is gonna be the Vespid being an STD. All right. I've already figured it. I'm done. If I remember this 3 days later, we'll see.
You will not.
But I love the look of it. But I'm just, as someone who will want to play it, or will want to transport it, or will want to take it to like somewhere that isn't my home to play with it or whatever. It's brutal.
Yeah.
It just looks like all sorts of resin broken hell to me, and I already see the future of glue and crap.
Right. I agree with Nathan. I think in terms of single model, it is easily the best. But I really have a hard time looking at this going, yeah, I think people are going to buy it. And I think primarily the price tag is the big thing. But on top of that, the fine cast, the pose, all that stuff. I love how with Farsight they've gone ahead and they've changed the aesthetic detailing of the battle suits, where they've actually made the chest a lot more narrow. They've made the the hip ball joints about half as big, mm-hmm. and they've made the hooves a one solid piece hoof.
You know what that
the
is.
Shoulder
though,
pads
that
are different, and I mean, like, it's not just them saying, hey, look, here's Farsight. He's got different armor. It's them saying, we recognize what's wrong with the current battle suits. They show that as well when they redid the broadsides.
Even the resin battle suit.
Just reach over and slap them, Terry.
Look at the Forge World Crisis suits. Look at the Forge World broadsides. Yes. Look at the Forge World. And that hoof is stolen from that thing. The smaller hip joints are stolen from the thing. The more slimline chest is stolen from that. But you look at the broadsides, and they're bulkier in all the ways that the Crisis suits were, in a good way.
Listen, we all know that Games Workshop is all about giving us nods, and they do a lot of things all at once. I would not be surprised to see that this is the new Crisis suit. And it's going to be a second or third wave release, mm-hmm. because what the giveaway to me is, when you look at his shield clearly has the Farsight Enclave thing on it. If you look at his chest, it's just your generic Tau chest symbol.
Right.
So to me, what I'm seeing is the future of the broadsides kit when they do redo them, which they probably did at the same time. Because you even look at his back jet fins, and again, it's stealing that sort of Riptide aesthetic of, we're going to add the fins. He has speed fins on everything.
Well, and it's the pivoting torso, right? It's the idea of, look at Marines. It's legs and it's torso, and it's just a, you know, one side's concave, one side's convex. Boo, 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 I pose them. I really do think that that's what we're... Thank you. I really do think that that's what we're going to see in the future, and I love the fact that they've taken the time to redesign this to make it look much more like, you know, hey, there's a Tau, you know, sweating feverishly in this guy's chest. And I'm kind of lost on that imagery.
A Tau sweating feverishly in his chest.
He also has a dick button. Let's move on.
You don't like dick buttons? All right. No, because for me, when you look at the next one of the XV8 Battlesuit Commander, that to me reinforces everything I said, where I'm just like, this is the new Crisis suit, because he's got the same kind of chest of Oshova. It's a little bit thicker than Farsight's is. He's got the dick button. He's, you know, he doesn't have the fins, though.
We know
that Farsight's packing them. The feet are different, but I think that was intentional because Farsight is unique, right? Yeah. So I think that they wanted to differentiate him so that you would pay the $60 for him instead of the $49 for this chump.
Well, the feet, okay, I don't know if you guys recognize it, but the feet look like Mark I stealth suits. Oshova's feet look
like Mark
I stealth suits. So, like, maybe it's a nod to the fact that his armor is older, dude. The guy has lived longer than any other Tau has ever lived. And that's the stuff he's got.
I think this one in particular in fine cast is even worse when it comes to the fact that you're looking at it going like, oh yeah, that ankle's going to break. But at the same time, there's that little piece of petrified poo-poo underneath his other foot that it almost looks like it's connected on. Let's do a 360 in action.
See, I was going to say, really, this pose, like, where, like with the Commander Farsight pose, it clearly looks like he's kind of like running and jumping and taking off with his jetpack. Mm-hmm. This to me looks like he slipped on a banana peel or like a slippery piece of ice. Like, he is going down and we've only caught him like the moment of slip. Like, he tripped on that and he's...
Yeah,
he's
attached to the poo-poo.
Yeah, he is.
No, but here's the thing, that base is different. When you look at the, who has the sculpted base again? The Cadre. Fire Warrior. It says in the description that his base is one of the 9 components that is included and sculpted. That's just base flourish that Heavy Metal is done on this particular model. So he's not actually attached to anything.
Whoa. Is this a typo because they don't know how to type, but a psychic ion blaster instead of cyclic ion blaster? Or are the Tau no longer psychic blanks?
No, I think that's got to be a typo. Because Matt Ward didn't write this.
Matt Ward didn't.
It's true. And I have now decided that they are psychers, the most powerful psychers in the universe. Ta-da!
You see, they're like the ancient Egyptians. All right, let's wrap this up. Let's wrap this up. Terry, aesthetically, are you pleased with the choices that they've made for the Tau?
Yes, absolutely. Like, you can't look at the Tau. Like, when it comes to vehicles, for example, you look at the Shark Bomber, and it's Tau. And the decisions they made didn't make huge leaps because the Tau have always been some of the best-looking models in the game, some of the best-aged models looking in the game. Even the Vespids, I don't care what people say, because they are terrible on the table. They are terrible.
They were gaming. The runners-up for the single worst unit in 40K.
And an STD.
But they are one of the best, like, looking models. They look great. And Tau was, as an army, look great, and they kept with a lot of the design decisions, so you can't hate on it. Mm-hmm. You can't hate on it.
I agree with you there. I mean, I really do think that this is just them refining the aesthetic. You know, it's not them trying to reinvent anything. It's not them trying to go back. It's like with Space Marines. You know, I mean, how many times did we go through various iterations of Space Marines where they look like tea kettles, and then they look like gladiators, and then they had mohawks? Before they finally settled on something that
were tea kettles with mohawks.
Right. Tea kettle mohawks. I played bass for them. But it's...
We're just trying to get anyone who's playing the game that way.
Yeah, not to be confused with
your drink.
Mohawk Tea Kettles, which was a different band that I played bass for. Same year, though, which was confusing for me, because I was also on meth at the time. But the big thing about it is I really...
At the time, because you're not on meth right now.
I stopped. I transferred my addiction to scotch. But really, I do like the fact that they're taking what is good and they're making it better. And I think the people that didn't like the Tau aesthetic before are going to slowly start coming around to it. And I like the fact that they're doing that. And it's clear that they recognize the mistakes that they've made in the past in terms of design And that, you know, when you get another person, another designer looking at these models, they sit there and they go, you know what? Yeah, this could have been better. You know what? Dark Eldar just didn't need to be knives and knives and spandex.
Are we not going to talk about Darkstrider?
I was going to save that for the show, but why not? He does. Okay, he's not a cave troll, so he gets.
This is the show. What show?
Well, when we talk about the rules and shit, because we're also over time.
Whatever. It's gonna say if people are still listening by now, they'll
deal. What are you talking about, dude? I've made 5 base references and we've had an STD.
They're dead. What you're saying is that anyone that was playing that, like, you're just trying to kill them of alcohol poisoning because they will not have passed.
Poor Darren Lamb, who started drinking along with our podcast, he is probably dead by now. Listen, Darren, you're training, okay? This is training. That's all it is.
Darren, you're drunk. Go home.
Go home. Go to sleep, my friend.
Dude, you know what? Yeah, you can save it. It's just fucking hot. Like, it's nice to see a Pathfinder model look that hot. Mm-hmm. I'm just going to say, he's my favorite sculpt, and he's carrying
a pulse carbine.
If you cosplay that,
it is the hottest.
Go get your dick sucked.
It is the hottest freaking pulse carbine I have ever seen. It is gorgeous.
Or you could just cosplay as a pulse carbine.
I was going to say, I was just going to say, my dick is called Pulse Carbine. I don't know why I have to cosplay
anything. Just tattoo that shit. Oh my God. Okay, so Nathan, you're generally, I assume, also very pleased with the aesthetic changes that we're seeing with the Tau?
I'm just going to throw out an Archer reference for my answer. Sploosh. Or whatever the male equivalent of sploosh is.
I think it's still
sploosh. Which I guess is sploosh. No, honestly, I love it. I think you hit it out of the park when you said they took the Tau aesthetic and they're like, how can we make this more Tau? How can we move this in a direction that stays unique to them, continually captures the essence and the feeling so that you're not looking at great, now everything I have is garbage. So all of the new stuff fits in with your collection. It looks great. It looks more Tau-like. Honestly, I love it. I've always had a soft spot for Tau, unlike you. You've always thought Tau were stupid.
I don't like the Tau fluff. And again, like, I didn't want to make this whole episode about me just bitching about the Tau fluff. And
that'll be next episode. That'll
likely be next episode. But really, I mean, we've done that in the past, right, when Terry's been on the show. Mm-hmm. And it's just like, you know, I'm not a huge fan of the Tau and, like, just their aspect of the galaxy. But again, like, I like the aesthetic for the most part. I love the crude. I think the whole Tau Empire, quote unquote, idea is very, very cool. And I wish we could see more of that. But at the same time, I like that they're changing all the things I didn't like. You know, I like that they're changing the battle suits. I like that they're changing the broadsides. You know, I appreciate what they're doing. And even when they released the last Tau Codex, the rules changes that they made were all very smart. And I was very happy with the changes. But I agree with you. Drones are always going to be the bastard child when it comes to Warhammer 40,000. What was the old bastard child for Warhammer?
They're gonna basically make drones.
Sonic weapons were the old bastard child? Jason, you said
no, they're the current bastard child.
Okay, well, you said something was the bastard child, and I remember long ago. It was an old episode. But yeah.
I don't remember last week's episode. You really shouldn't ask.
So hey,
because remember when we did the special one with Sweetie Man Mike, yeah, and he was just like, hey, Nathan, why do you play Warhammer? I'm like, blah, blah, blah. He's like, that's not what you said last episode. I'm like, fuck, I don't remember what I said last episode.
they're gonna make drones count as a model. They're
we
gonna
drink
be
when
a
we
unit.
Podcast. Like, I don't remember the end of any episode.
Just lets me have the opportunity to do another corrections. Fuck off. And now it's time for our weekly listener poll question. Provided to us by Terry for this week. Terry, fire away.
Would you drink to a Jaded Gamercast drinking game?
Ooh, God damn it.
Those of you who are brave enough to say yes.
I was going to say volatile. You understand that there's like 3 or 4 people that have JGCA in their fucking
Facebook. I was going to make them some patches, man. If you've got a JGCA in your Facebook name, you can expect a freaking message from me via Facebook soon enough, or I'm asking you for your address because you are getting something from us.
Mm-hmm. That shit.
Because your liver needs something.
Well,
from
I was going
to
say this late in the episode, though, anyone that would say yes is dead.
They're also probably dead. And this is where we respectfully mourn the passing of Darren Lamb. All right. So, hey, something shiny. Doctor Who and Game of Thrones tomorrow and Sunday.
I know, right?
Freaking excited, dude.
Sploosh.
Sploosh.
You're caught up on Doctor Who, right, Terry?
Yeah, we've got like...
No, we have The Angels Take Manhattan, which we've been putting off because you tell me is bad, garbage. And the Christmas episode.
Amazing.
Okay, well,
download. Okay, what you need to do is you need... do you remember... Okay, so here's the thing. You ever go and like wipe your ass and you feel like... Like, you know that the toilet paper is ripped because you feel skin against skin, right? And then there's that weird, awkward moment where you feel like you have to look at your fingertips to make sure that there's not shit on them. And then you realize, oh, good, there's no shit on them. That's how you need to view those episodes of Doctor Who. Because Angels Take Manhattan is that uncertainty with shit on your fingers. And then when you get to the Christmas special, you're like, oh, thank God. And you're just so relieved. But then you don't wash your hands anyways, and I've lost the metaphor.
You know, as we covered with the SimCity one, I don't think you understand how metaphors work.
Those are the highest choir of angels, right?
Highest choir of angels.
Another high-level joke. That's been Jay the GamerCast for this week. My name is Lang.
I'm Nate.
This is Terry.
Have a good one.
Cheers.